course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined as always by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too bad. You know, I haven't been sleeping real great lately. I've been having some weird dreams. Feels like I'm just kind of drifting off.
Yeah, well, look, I can help you. I know a lady. She can help you with that. So, all right, this week we are reviewing the movie Insidious, Out of the Further, which I think is the sixth movie in the franchise. Is that right, I think?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, all right, somewhere around there. But before we get there, we have lots of other stuff to talk about, including Ike. What else did you watch this week?
Well, still doing a rewatch of The Office, so not horror related. Other than that, I have been we're kind of getting amped up for the you know, all the horror spookiness that's coming along with Halloween. And so I was watching what was I watching? Oh God. I rewatched something I hadn't watched in a while. And now I cannot. Oh, I was watching some Goosebumps. That's what I was watching.
Yeah,
I was watching some Goosebumps, and you know, it's fun. A lot of that stuff's on YouTube for free. So, yeah. So I was just watching a little bit of that just for fun. Specifically, I watched Night of the Living Dummy, which is a good one.
Yeah.
And then the other one was I can't remember. But no, it's great. I love Goosebumps. But other than that, I haven't really had time to watch too much.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. I'm still watching Star Trek. I'm in Voyager, almost done with Voyager. But Monica and I have started rewatching The Walking Dead. So I think we just started season three of that. We're at the prison point. They just got to the prison.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, but we decided for whatever reason decided to rewatch Walking Dead. So. That's been fun. That's pretty scary shit. And all right, so many things when you rewatch it. So many things I remember of watching it because we just got to the point where. I think you were there when we got to the point of the where Rishon was introduced, right? The end of season two or whatever it was, or beginning of season or wherever it was. And I remember watching. We watched that in an event we set up. In a movie theater.
We sure
and,
did.
Yeah, and it was pretty packed. It was a pretty, we well, at the same rate, so we drew a pretty good house for a movie. And I remember sitting there and it being so cool watching it right on the theater screen. Because this is like, they weren't doing those events then like they do now as much where, you know, they were showing TV stuff in the movie theater. So it was kind of unique. And, but anyway, I remember just sitting there and watching it. And I remember that when, you know, that the zombie, right? The head gets cut and then it falls. There's Michonne with her two armless walkers. And I remember that whole theater like cheering. Because these are like comic book guys and comic book people, right? Who knew the comics, knew Michonne from the comics. And it was just such a cool thing that they knew that. And it was pretty cool energy. But I remember stuff like that when, you know, where you're watching it and, from when I watched it the first time or when I read, you know, some of the comics the first time. I've not read the entire series, but I read a good chunk of it.
Right.
But, yeah, so it's pretty cool when you rewatch stuff and you remember things like that. And then there's, you know, obviously the things that you don't recall. You're like, what? I don't remember exactly what happened. Then, you know, like, you get pissed off about the same things all over again. You know, it's like so pissed off when Dale got killed because I love Dale and early on. And then it's like, I hated Lori. I still do. Even this rewatch, I hate Lori. I think she's just a horrible person all around. Just she's so snotty, but I'm waiting for her to die.
It's coming.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, okay, that's what we're rewatching. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll have news, birthdays, and all that stuff. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two, and Screams, and you can find us there.
Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, starting us off here, we have Backrooms coming to HBO Max on September 25th. We have a whole review of this in the archives, so make sure you go check that out. But HBO should be a good home for the Backrooms. Backrooms is pretty great and did pretty well. I think that it really showed that, hey, you can go on here and you can see this, and it's like this kind of a movie can actually draw. I feel like a lot of people were kind of concerned that it may not be able to pull people, but it really did. They did a really great job. But yeah, Backrooms did great. I don't want to ramble too long about it, but make sure you guys go watch this in the archives. But I think a short series or something like that on HBO would probably work pretty good for this format.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Backrooms, performed well in theater, performed well video on demand, and now I'm sure it's gonna, they'll do well for HBO Max. I think it's a good partner for them. Not only for this, but yeah, like you said, there's HBO Max likes to do things like that, right? They might partner and do things, and they like the series, and so you never know what'll happen. What will evolve from this? So,
yeah, absolutely. But very good. And speaking of streaming releases this weekend and other things of that nature, obviously Backrooms is later, but for this weekend, if you guys want to check something out, check out Pinocchio Unstrung is available on video on demand. That's always a good time. Pinocchio Unstrung is was a solid movie. We got to watch it. How did we watch it? Did we get a screener?
We must have. I was trying to figure this out myself. I saw this video on demand. I thought, oh, there we go. That's what we'll review next week. That's coming out video on demand. And then I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute. I think we saw this. And I'm like, yeah, I know I saw this. I'm like, so I went back and checked it. I'm like, yeah, we did a review on this.
Right.
And I was sitting there, I was like, okay. And I'm like, well, how did we do a review on this?
I think we had a screen. I think this is one of the ones because we got the one for Bambi.
It had to have been because yeah, it had to have been. I don't know. Because when it had its initial little theater run, the limited thing, we didn't get it or whatever. And
right.
We had to have gotten a screener. It had to have been. So whatever the case may be, we did watch it. I remember watching it now, but we did watch it. There is a review in the archives. So intriguing. Yeah,
I was thinking to myself, we had to have a screener, but because I know it had like so a little run. I think our theater, if it got it, it had like one showing like at like 10 PM or something like that. But no, I'm pretty sure it did. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we did.
Yeah, I think so.
But that's great. I'm glad it's on video on demand for other people to see. And people can go watch it and then compare with our review of the film. That'll be fun. But moving right along, this is some unfortunate news that we have to provide. But nothing to do with horror, but we do have to mention that yesterday, August 25th, yesterday as the day of recording, Dolly Parton has passed away. Dolly Parton is known for a lot of things, philanthropic works, as well as her country music and everything else, and Dollywood. And so, she really was an icon, and will certainly be missed. Really, she was just a really great person, and really tried her best to give back.
Yeah, it's I'm not a huge fan of her music, right? I'm not a big country person, right? I appreciate her talent, but I'm not, it's like, that's not what I throw on. I mean, some of her stuff I could listen to her. But anyway, overall, she has some movies. They're okay. They're a lot, most of them were, her biggest movies were comedy, 80s comedies, which were fun, but again, not something I rewatch. But it's so wild because it's like everybody in the world, even, and I'm not going to make this political, I'm not going to state names, even people who usually have dumbass responses to people dying or events like this and post ridiculously stupid things are actually posting decent, respectful stuff here.
Yeah.
Because Dolly, unless something turns up, some major skeletons that have somehow been hidden, Dolly Parton never did wrong by anybody that I can ever see. You see all these stories, and these are people, these are firsthand people stories from people, of her just reaching, like she lost, I think it was an Academy Award, something like that, or an Oscar, or something, whatever the, I don't mind, I'm big on reward shows, but a major award
Right.
she had never won. She lost it to somebody else or whatever, right? And everybody kind of thought she was going to win it, but she didn't. And I guess the first thing she did was she wrote a letter of congratulations to them. And whoever it was also from Tennessee. And she was like, I'm so glad you brought it back to Tennessee. And she was just like, all right, Eminem put out on social media that he never got to personally meet Dolly. And he really regrets that. But she sent him a letter. And I can't remember what it was from. Oh, it was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when he was inducted, and said that she didn't, she hopes he didn't think it was crazy, but she really felt a lot of admiration and respect for him and whatever else, and just wanted to reach out and congratulate him. And never, I mean, just what, why? She didn't have to do that, right? She didn't have to, all the things she does and has done over time, right? I mean, you hear story after story. I mean, you could go on all day. The money and the things she did donation wise with no hoopla, no press, right? She just did it. She made her county where she is in Tennessee, she made that county.
Yeah.
She put so much. I mean, she's like, from whatever, single-handedly built a hospital, and done all these things. She took that and made it something, right? That's a huge tourist area now. It always been a big tourist area, but she made it something more. Which of course, people can say what they want, but that's jobs. That's a big impact. And that's not even talking about what she donated to education, to books, to libraries, to hospitals, to everything. Again, I'm not gonna go on forever because I could. I love Dolly Parton. She's, again, not something that's like, I'm not so much a huge fan of her work per se. I appreciate it, I respect it, but I'm a huge fan of the person because she was just a great person, and she was just everything you see makes you smile, makes you laugh, makes you feel a little better, right? No. She was always this glimmer of hope, even when the world was dark, and even when there was a lot of dumb shit, something would come up with her, and it'd give you a spark, right? It was just like, man, there's people like that out there, right? And then you would think, okay, I want to be that. I want to, and that's what more people need to do, right? There'd be a whole hell of a lot better world if more people were to follow her lead and others like her, and try to be that way, right? It's just try to, like she always said, oh, it's. Just be good, be a nice person. She's like, it's not hard to be nice. So anyway, again, I could ramble on about her forever, but I won't. Again, like we said, it really has nothing to do with horror. I don't think there's any connection. I don't ever
No.
remember doing a horror movie or, I whatever. I'm not saying there's not, but it's not out there. Someone will show me up. But again, how could you not, man? She's such a next level person. And personality. I mean, how could you had to mention, yeah, you got to mention her, right? I mean, you can't, everybody's talking about her, and everybody should be. Yeah. So the world, again, we talked about this the other day about deaths and celebrity deaths. This one hits hard, very hard. And it's, you could truly say, and I, with no hesitation, the world is a worse place that now that she's no longer in it.
Yeah, no, absolutely agree. But rest in peace to Dolly Parton. Too bad that you never had a horror movie. I think she
That's
could have made a
right.
good one.
That's right. She could. I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I mean, she was in The Simpsons. She was in an episode of The Simpsons. I remember
She
that.
was, yeah.
Did lots of things. Host of Saturday Night Live. She did a lot of things, right? She had a great sense of humor. Poked, wasn't afraid to poke fun at herself. Like I said, the movies she did in the 80s were comedies. They were pretty funny, but they were what they were. But it's like, I mean, obviously she's known for like Nine to Five, Rhinestone, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. These are all 80s comedies, right, and things, but I don't recall her ever doing anything, or I mean, not that I recollect. I don't remember a horror movie. I don't know. I mean, I hope there's something out there with her, like appearing on a Halloween special, just something, just that would be cool, but I don't know.
Right.
So, but whatever. She's crossed the plains of genres and pop culture, that doesn't matter. She's just, she needs to be talked about by anybody and everybody and praised.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But all right. So we will move on from Dolly Parton for now, but she will be missed. And we're going to jump now to some upcoming birthdays. Starting us off here, starting us off strong, we have August 29th, 1939. We have William Friedkin, the director of The Exorcist. You know, it's weird because you look at William Friedkin's his filmography, and he really, I mean, he has such a weird like filmography. Like, there's all these movies and stuff that like I've never heard of, but then you have like, you know, The Exorcist, and you know,
The French Mistake.
yeah. There's that one. The French, or then there's like, what was the other one
No,
that he
wait,
did?
not French. Is it French Mistake or French Connection? I
French
don't know.
Connection.
Connection, that's it. I've never seen the movie. I know it's a huge movie, but a totally different movie, right? Those are huge movies, but totally different movies.
True. And he also did one. I thought he did like a I thought he did a like bi like a biography type movie where, because he was talking about like exorcists. But he made it like a few years ago or something. I think, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure he had something to do with it. But it was like a talking about real exorcisms and stuff. But it was kind of an interesting movie that went, he went to like the Capitol, like the Vatican Capitol and stuff, and was talking to like priests, and it was kind of interesting. But no, yeah, William Friedkin's a really interesting guy. I've heard some odd things about him over the years. Nothing like bad that I know of, but he's definitely an interesting guy. He's eclectic, and you know, he did pass a few years ago, I think 3 years ago. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, he always has the fact that he was the original Exorcist director, and that's really something. I feel like The Exorcist really set the stage for all future possession type movies, and really sort of define some of those really important tropes that we see today.
Yeah, correct.
He said, as a matter of fact, that is correct.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know, there's not much more to say. I mean, again, if you do The Exorcist and French Connection, again, your resume is made just on those, either one of those
True.
movies, much less both of them. But yeah, what a talent.
Really is. But speaking of generational talents, August 30th of 1797. I mean, this is the oldest birthday we've ever had on here.
Oh,
Mary Shelley,
probably.
the author of Frankenstein. Man, it's crazy. Mary Shelley started in some ways the horror genre, right? This was like the one of the first like horror books in a way. And you know, it obviously has a lot of nuance and you know, ulterior meanings, but really it's a story about a an un misunderstood monster, that the real monster is Dr. Frankenstein, not Frankenstein's monster.
That's right.
But no, it's great. I read this in high school. It's been a while since I've read it. I think I need to go back and reread it. I've been doing some, actually, I'll mention it later, but I have been doing some reading that I wanted to mention. But anyways, Mary Shelley's great. I mean, this is, again, iconic, truly iconic.
Definitely. I mean, everybody knows I love Frankenstein. And it all began with Mary Shelley. And it's just so weird to believe how old that book is. And that story and how it continues to inspire great takes on it, right? I mean, we just had The Bride like what, this year or whatever, whenever it was, and it's still, I mean, these original fresh takes on that, on this is, it's pretty remarkable that it's still this impactful. Yeah, such a great book, pretty talented, and again, especially, I mean, I don't want this to come across wrong because it is what it is, but 1797. To be a female and write that
Yeah,
is even more phenomenal.
it truly is. It truly is. But happy birthday to Mary Shelley. We have one last birthday here, September 2nd, 2004. Good Lord, Elliot Fulham, who played Jonathan in the Terrifier series. Man, he's young. You
He
know,
is.
Elliot's great. Did a great job as Jonathan. They actually recently announced a Funko Pop of him where it's his head with
Oh,
the
I
glass
saw that.
on.
That's great. I first
So
saw it somewhere on a thing. I thought, oh, that's fake. I thought someone made that. You know, that's because, and like, there's no way. That's pretty. It's one of the more gruesome kind of Funko Pops I've ever seen. Then I saw it was real. And I was like, oh, that's excellent. That's how I love it. kind of weird that that's his first Funko Pop, but I guess, but
right. Yeah, I feel like they could have done another one, but
he is pretty plain looking in that movie, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Could have had him like with the glasses and holding like his dad's sketchbook, you know, and you know, something to give him a little character. Hopefully, he
or
gets
like, him. Or like when he's been like after he's been whipped and stuff with the cat of nine tails
there you go.
Or something like that,
or with his partial art costume on.
No, that would have been cool.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done something, but I'm glad he gets is getting one. But hopefully, there, you know, we get some more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But no, I mean, he's doing great. You know, outside of movies and stuff, I know that he's in a band, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, he's
or yeah, he is like the front man or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, he does stuff. Yeah, he's been out there for a long time. He his I don't know what you want to call it, his brand or is called it's I think it's Little Punk People.
Yeah,
or
Little
something.
Punk People.
Yeah, and he was very young, like a kid, and he was interviewing all these musicians, it's been, you know, like punk musicians and different things, just like they're like short snippets, right? They're not real long interviews, but it's so funny because it's like he was interviewing some major names in punk music. But yeah, I mean, if you look at his social media, it's mostly it's a lot of music stuff, right? But
yeah,
and I don't know if he does. I don't know if he's, he's probably done a few things. Maybe I don't know. I've never seen him anything outside the Terrifier movies. Maybe that's just I don't know. He'd be. I'd love to talk to him because I'd be interested. It'd be interesting to see how. How he got that role, right, in Terrifier 2. How, because again, I've never seen, he doesn't, I don't think he's got this huge resume. I mean, did he get, I wonder if, like, Damian Leone, if they noticed him from online?
Maybe.
It's weird, you know, it's like, I mean, was he in the Inner Circle? Was he, you know, were they part of the, I don't know, it's peculiar. I like the, you know, I like the, I love to interview him anyway, just talk a lot about Terrifier, obviously, in those movies. But it'd be very, there's a lot of interesting stories there about how, he came into it. But yeah, I'm a big fan of his. He's a cool guy, does some great stuff on social media. Again, I love it obviously because he's got it's a lot of there's a lot of punk stuff and music like that, and you know, great, a lot of music I like that he, you know, he promotes and says stuff about. But and I've heard some of his stuff. He's very talented. He doesn't, not exactly my, you know, my kind of stuff that I listen to all the time, but he's very good, very, very talented. So whatever he chooses to. Hopefully he continues to plug into both, right? Just keep making music, keep making movies. And hopefully he gets to continue to, you know, show that creative side for the rest of his life.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right. Happy birthday to Elliot. Like you said, doing great stuff and continuing to be part of the Terrifier family and doing his own thing. So we'll keep an eye out for his future projects and, like you said, I'd like to talk to him too and get to kind of hear that story and get a little behind the scenes with him. So,
and the big question, right? Is he true? Is he truly dead? Was that really his head?
True.
What will happen? That would be that wild swerve if it's not his, and then it's like, ah, hey, you don't have a Funko Pop anymore.
That's,
oh, wait,
what I was
that's
gonna
not
say.
Your head.
I was gonna say what would be crazy is that they make this Funko Pop of his head and then it's not actually him.
That's right. Then it's like some random guy who just had to, you know, I don't know what. Well, I don't know. I guess it wasn't really an actor, was it? But anyway, I don't know. We'll see more in Terrifier. I mean, hopefully he's in for it at least somehow, right? Some backstory and whatever, at least some, in some capacity. But I don't know. It's always peculiar the way everybody else gets these big death scenes and whatever else, and then they just show up with his head and oh, he's dead. Feels funny to me, but there's also, right? Well, I don't know. There's a little bit of supernaturally stuff going on. Can we see him back? Who knows? Damian Leone knows. But
no, I was gonna say Damian Leone knows. And I think we'll know eventually.
Yeah. But hopefully he's in four in some capacity, even if it's just flashback scenes or, you know, whatever, some capacities. Hopefully he's there. Whether even if not in the current, but we'll see. Even that, or maybe just his head, his severed head, will just maybe it'll be there in the movie.
Absolutely, but
who knows?
Until then, like I said, I'm excited. Four should hopefully be out next year, I think, because I think that's what they said. So
I hope so.
We'll see. But for now, we'll go ahead and keep rolling. We've got some movie anniversaries to talk about. Starting us off from the top, August 29, 2003, Jeepers Creepers 2. It is so hard for me because I like the first two Jeepers Creepers movies. I think that they're pretty all right movies, but it is a very difficult thing because the guy who made the movies, Victor Salva, is a convicted predator. I mean, it was a child, so I mean, he's a child predator. So it's like, I don't know. I know people always say, you know, separate the art from the artist, but it is sometimes very hard to do with some of these people. And Victor Salva is one of them.
And he's the creeper guy?
Yeah, he made Jeepers Creepers.
He made the movie.
Yeah. He's okay. He's not the creeper, although that would be on point.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that, but that
it's a little funny.
That's horrible, but yeah, I didn't mean that when I said that. Oh, he's a creeper. Well, yes, but he's not. Sorry. Yeah. See, I did not know that story. Honestly, I you know, it's hard for me to I don't know. In some cases, I can separate things. Right. It just depends on what the things are. Had I known that, I probably wouldn't have put these anniversary dates in here. Honestly.
But it's one of those things, it's like, it's still important to talk about to a degree because
it is,
these movies are pretty
I do
important for that, the creature feature of this time, you know?
Yeah, and I do enjoy the movies, but now it's like, I'm gonna feel dirty when I watch them.
But honestly, I think talking about it and bringing up the fact that he is a criminal to let other people know that he's a criminal is also important.
Yes. So, was he prosecuted? I mean, was he?
Yes. Yeah. He was.
So he's gone?
Well, it happened in the 90s. In 1995, he was in his 20s. It was 1988. He confessed to five felony counts of sexual relations with a 12-year-old boy who he had videotaped. So he spent a year in state prison for his crimes.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So
dude should still be in prison.
Yeah, he definitely should still be in prison. But at the time, he was in 88 because he was born in 58. So he would have been 30 years old at the time.
Did he make more movies after he got out?
Yeah. All the movies he made pretty much after he got out.
I guess that's right. That's not cool.
Yeah, because he wrote a couple movies like in the 80s, but then like he started making movies in like the 90s and 2000s. The Jeepers
Creepers. Fuck that guy.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like I said, but it's still important to talk about because a lot of people don't know that he did this stuff. You know what I mean? Like
I wasn't aware. I didn't, you know, I don't know. For some reason that had never crossed any readings or whatever I've done. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I did not. I had no idea.
Yikes. Well, it's weird because like back then this was this is like the 80s, right? So, you know, this was almost 20 years prior to his most popular film, which is arguably Jeepers Creepers 1, right?
Yeah.
So he commits a crime 15 years prior to making this movie in the 80s when the internet doesn't even really exist yet, right? So then in the 90s when the internet does exist, you know, in the 2000s, like all of this stuff had already happened, so it's not super public knowledge. And it's not like he has to like disclose this information to make a movie, right? You know, he's not applying for a job or going to a school. He doesn't have to disclose his misdeeds. He's just making a movie, right? Yep. So it's one of those situations where it's like most people probably did not know at the time that this movie came out that he had done this. So
probably not. Yeah, well, happy anniversary to everybody else associated with the movie, but that guy,
right? Like, well, you know, hey, Justin Long was in the movie, and Justin Long did great.
That's right.
But
happy anniversary for the movie, Justin.
There you go. But in any case,
I was really hoping it wasn't the main character guy. When you were saying this, like, no, man, don't tell me.
No, so, it's just the writer director guy.
Glad to see he's still cool, I guess. Because I'm afraid to say that because like. Somebody will come back with, no, that guy did this. I'm like, God damn it. Just can't like it. I can't like him. These movies, just fuck them. No. just fuck the guy that made them.
That's right. That's right. You know, no, Jonathan Breck, the guy who plays the creeper.
Yeah, that's a creeper.
He's cool. As far as I know, at least.
1 year. Good God.
But
Jeepers
no,
creepers.
Jeepers creepers. But moving on to the August 30th of 1972, Last House on the Left. This is Wes Craven's directorial debut. You know,
it's a rough movie.
It is a rough movie. I'm not a huge fan of this movie. Not one of Wes's favorites, in my opinion. No. But you know, this is how he got to start. He had an idea. Revenge films were really big around this time. You know, like I Spit on Your Grave and, you know, things like that. So, you know, this is kind of just par for the course for, you know, the 70s and 80s. So, but, you know,
it got remade and
it
everything,
got
but
remade, yeah.
It's yeah, there's some things in movies that are just tough for me to watch
Yeah.
and hard to watch. And this one is, you know, I'm not saying it shouldn't be in the films to a degree, you know, certainly, right? I'm not saying that because, again, it is cinema, it is film. There is sometimes a reasoning for these things, the right story wise, but it's just tough to watch. It's just, it hits me the wrong way. It's just the way I am. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And, this, yeah, it's a tough movie. I haven't watched this movie forever, and I don't know. I don't know. Just probably won't, just because I just don't want to.
No, absolutely. It's one of those movies that I don't know that I've ever watched the original. I have watched the remake, and it's very possible that at some point I did watch the original. I'm just not sure if I have. But I don't know. I don't know if I'd ever watch the original. Maybe one day, but for now, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do like pretty much all of other Wes Craven's other works. I mean, he does a lot of other really good stuff, obviously, like Nightmare and Scream and stuff like that. So I can't
again,
really
I'm
hold
not,
the one movie against him.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, again, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm not even saying it's that out of line of a movie, right? It is
right.
What it is, and unfortunately, you know, some of this a lot of the shit this happens, right? It happens all the time. It's just something that's, I don't know. I'm not comfortable watching a lot of. So, yeah. So it's just a personally, I'm not bashing the movie per se, but
right. Same.
It's just not my thing.
Absolutely. But in any case, we'll move on to our next movie, which is a little less controversial, than the last two,
well,
I suppose.
It might be controversial just in different ways.
True. But August 30th, 1991, Child's Play 3. Yeah, I think the only controversial thing about this movie is that they recast the main character. Andy Barclay. In this one, it was, oh man, it was that he was pretty famous around that time. Justin Whalen? Yeah,
Is that his
Justin
name?
Whalen. Yeah, he was like a kid actor, and he was in a bunch of stuff. And obviously, the original Child's Play, you know, it was Alex Vincent, who
Yeah.
eventually came back to reprise his role. But I think that's really the big, like, issue with this movie is that, like, hey, why did you not just bring back Alex Vincent? And I think it was that maybe he was not old enough. I think the prior
Yeah.
movie was, like, only a year prior.
Yeah, they aged him up in this, right? He's going to,
like a teenager.
yeah, what was it, a military academy or whatever you want to call it, I guess?
Yeah, something like that.
A shit place, good God. I don't know, man. It's okay, right? The movie's not horrible, but it's, God, it's weird. There's some shit people in that military academy. And then there's
yeah, for real.
The one weird little kid who's there, well, because his uncle or someone works there, right? And then he's there. Remember
Oh, the
the
one
one?
that, yeah, it was like a little kid that's the one that Chucky tries and take, right?
Yeah, and he's just like this kid, like apparently loves the military and whatever else, and he's
You're chilling.
It's like, you know, he's there. It's like, what the fuck? How's that happen? It's like, I don't know, but yeah, it's an okay movie, and I get it. What were they gonna do, right? Just you couldn't do the same old thing again and again, right? I mean, they kind of explored what there was for young Alex. I don't know what else they could have done, you know, really that differently, right? It's, oh, you're with new foster parents. Let's do this again. And now, yeah, I mean, you can't. So they tried something different. And yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's not bad. It's not one of my favorites of the franchise.
No, you know, it's one of those ones that I'll watch if I'm doing a rewatch. But if I don't explicitly go out of my way to say, hey, let's go watch Child's Play 3.
Yeah.
But good stuff. And then circling back, August 30.
We'll just give this one a brief because I think we've explored this enough.
Yeah, right. But August 31st, 2001, Jeepers Creepers won. Yeah.
Congratulations, Justin Long.
Congratulations, Justin Long. That's right. But we talked enough about the second one. Good. It's a good movie. However, there's the fog that lingers over it. But speaking about fogs that linger over things, August 31st of 2007, we have Rob Zombie's Halloween. I actually earlier saw a that song. It's like, oh man, it's like, can I need to get my sa not like the original song, but it's like, I think it's called Satisfaction, but it's like an EDM song. And they yeah, it was a Satisfaction by David Guetta and Benny Benassi, and then they mixed it with the song Dragula by Rob Zombie.
That's a good song.
So, but the mix is super cool. I need to find it later and send it to you. But it sounds really neat how they mix the two, because it's about the same beats per minute. So, but anyways, Rob Zombie's great, right? Does some great music. Just maybe should have stuck to music. I think that would have been the most positive outcome. No, this movie wasn't horrible, right? I like the first Rob Zombie Halloween. The second one is almost unwatchable, but the
It
first
is
Rob Zombie Halloween is actually pretty okay.
a little
It's
long.
just a little long, yeah, a little long-winded, but it's just how Rob Zombie is, I think.
Yes, there. I remember watching this, and I remember there being a point where I thought the movie was done. I thought this is where it was ending. And I thought, you know what, that wasn't too bad. You know, it's not great, but it went to it. And then it just kept going. And I was like, what the fuck? And it went for a little bit. And I'm like, okay, now you're, to me, it's a worse movie than if they had stopped it. I don't know. I don't recall. I've only seen it the one time. I don't know if that I'll ever watch it again. I do not rewatch these in my rewatch of Halloween. Again, I'm a big fan of Rob Zombie's music, right? I like his music. He's very creative and talented, and I love White Zombie. And I just, there's no movie he's made that I really love. You know, he's got a couple of characters that he created that are pretty cool that I always think, you know, like Captain Spaulding or something. And I always think, man, I'd love to see that character in the hands of somebody else. And I know Rob, I know he's a huge horror fan, and I love that, and I respect that. And he's a huge collector, and I love that. I wish if Rob wanted to get involved in film, maybe he had just formed a production company and just backed projects, right? Just fund projects, pick up projects, and not direct them himself. You know,
Right.
I wish he had just stuck to that side of it. But then again, I mean, if he'd done that, what would his wife do for work? Because, I mean, I don't know, you know. Again, I'm sure she's a perfectly nice woman, and I all the respect in the world. But man, she's not a good actress. And she's in every Rob Zombie movie. And the bad part is it's not small parts. It's like you know, if you want to give her some little supporting part, fine. I don't care. But she's like prominent in the
Yeah.
movies, and it's like it's too much. I don't know. I hope he doesn't do any more movies. I don't know what he's doing nowadays. I know he's I think he's touring. I think I saw a clip of it. I don't know. I hope at some point when the tour is over, he doesn't say, all right, let's get back to a movie. But I mean,
Yeah.
what's the last thing he did? The Munsters?
Yeah, so I think the Monsters was the last one he did.
The Munsters is probably his best work.
I'd have to probably agree.
At least
Really
in my
enjoyed that
eyes.
one.
Yeah. Again, his wife's featured hugely prominently and might have been better with somebody else, but you know, I didn't hate the Munsters. You know, it was fun. It was okay. I'd probably rewatch that. It's probably his only movie I would. But I mean, isn't that weird that that would be my pick of movies of his that I like the best? I love the Munsters, don't get me wrong. But you know, fuck, I like slashers. And he makes some slashers, but they're just not slashers I want to watch. Very weird.
Yeah. It is very weird. It's a very weird, what's the word I want to use? It's a very weird, it's a very weird nuance with Rob Zombie that, like, we love slashers, but specifically for Rob Zombie, like, non-slashers that, like, happen to be good.
And again, I know a lot of people love his stuff, and that's fine, that's cool. Whatever, I guess. But I don't know. I've never seen anybody, maybe they're out there, but I've never seen anybody just live or die by Rob Zombie's work. I'm sure they're
Actually,
out there.
I work with a guy who I was talking to him the other day, and he's like, you like horror movies, right? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, what are your opinions on Halloween? I'm like, oh, well, I love Halloween, like the movie. I was like, the original Halloween's one of my favorites, if not my favorite slasher movie of all time. And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, I really, really like the Rob Zombie Halloween. And I'm like, ooh. He's like, I like it. He's like, I like it better than a lot of the other ones. I'm like, oh. I was like, oh, yeah, that's certainly an opinion you can have.
I would watch the worst of the original series before I'd watch Rob Zombies. And again, I don't know what that is, but anybody could say anything in the original series, one that they hate and they think is horrible, I guarantee I would pick that over Rob Zombies Halloween to watch.
No,
Because I don't
absolutely.
hate any of the original series personally. Yes, some are better than the others. Some I like more than others. Some I rewatch more than others. I don't hate any of them. So I would take any movie from the original series or I mean, whatever, any of the other timelines, any other Halloween movie, but his two, any of them I would watch before his movie. Any of them. I don't care.
No, absolutely.
And
Absolutely
I
agree.
don't know. Again, I've never felt a dichotomy for anybody like this in my life. Typically, if I'm a fan of them on one avenue, I at least like them a little in another avenue. But I really dig Rob Zombie's music. I really it's fucking catchy. It's fucking I don't say uplifting like it's spiritual, but it's like it gets you pumped, right? It's most of his stuff's got a good whatever. It's like. Fucking it's good shit, right? I mean, again, I'm
Yeah.
not a big Rob Zombie fan, though. I'm not deep in his catalog, but the songs that everybody knows, I like them, man. It's like, and then I loved always loved White Zombie. I mean, fucking Thunder Kiss. Oh, Jesus Christ, that's a great song. And More Human Than Human. Oh, Jesus. But it's like, I love his music and everything else, but it's, eesh, I feel like so opposite about his movies. It's weird.
No, absolutely.
And Rob Zombie would probably chuckle at that. He'd probably think that's funny as hell.
I think so. I think he would.
But
But,
still a cool dude. Still a guy I'd love to
yeah.
fucking meet someday and talk to. Because, I mean, again, all the respect in the world. He loves horror movies, and he does good or bad, indifferent, whatever you think. The guy is a supporter, right? He does it. He's not out there trying to make fucking rom-coms. So, ooh, but y'all to try. Maybe that'd be his niche. Maybe that's, you know what? Maybe his wife can make it in like a Hallmark movie.
Ironically, I feel like that could be a possibility. Ironically enough.
No offense to the people that love Hallmark movies like my wife, but they're not that great on the acting. Because they churn those out so quick. They're really like triple length soap opera episodes. I'm not knocking soap operas, but there it's different because you gotta soap opera actors are some of the, again, I know this is a huge tangent, but they are some of the most talented people in the world because they are doing this, churning out so many episodes. You don't get multiple retakes on some of their shit. And so they've gotta really be with it. And I would suggest there's a lot of ad-libbing and this is, you gotta really be on your shit to do soap operas.
No, absolutely. So soap operas are one of those genres where it's like you don't really get a break per se because they're constantly churning it out,
That's right. They are, I mean, they are 5 days a week have episodes out. They don't have the big breaks like every other shows do, right? Where, oh, we'll be back in the fall. No, they're still, so that's right. Again, you don't have time to, you can't take 10 takes on something. You got to get it right, man. And that's why a lot of people, there's a lot of actors that are really good, like Jensen Ackles, who they always joke to call him one take Ackles, right? Because he always nails it. Well, he started in soap operas.
Yep.
A lot of people did. And that's why they can do that, because they're used to, you got to nail it, right? Anyway, sorry. I don't know how we got from Rob Zombie to soap operas.
His
wife.
Happens.
It's his wife.
Yeah. That's what it is. But
anyway, I don't know, whatever. Halloween anniversary, but fuck that movie. I'm not I'm not watching it.
No. We'll not be watching that in remembrance of its release this week. But
nope.
In any case, we're going to jump now to our upcoming releases. We have Buddy coming to theaters on August 28th, and it is described as a brave girl and her friends must escape a kids' television show. And we will be reviewing this movie next episode. This is something I've seen the trailer for. It looks pretty interesting. Definitely an interesting concept. And if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure it has Keegan-Michael Key in it.
I think so, yeah.
So that'll be interesting. I think it's supposed to be sort of like a little bit of like a tongue-in-cheek horror comedy type thing with a little bit of that, you know. Oh, okay, that's interesting, you know, type deal. And I think it'll be good. I think it'll be fun.
Sure, yeah. I think these kind of movies are pretty cool. I think they're fun for me. It's that opposite, right? It's a kids show, which is usually kind of goofy and fun and colorful and lighthearted, you know, things like that. And if we've seen some with, like, I don't remember all the names. There's a couple of them we watched, right, where there's like these horror hosts, or excuse me, kids show hosts, and it winds up being something, you know, evil. It's kind of a weird. It's what makes it terrifying, right? It's just, it feels out of context. That shouldn't be happening here. And and all of us at one point or another have looked at some form of a kids show mascot thing and thought, Jesus, that thing needs to burn. And you know, whether it be a Barney or whatever. And again, no respect. There's a lot of kids shows that I think are great. But, you know, all of us are driven mad by one of them. And this buddy, what is buddy? He's like he's like a unicorn something or other, isn't he?
Yeah, it's something like that.
It must be a hybrid. He looks like a kind of dinosaur-y, but I think, doesn't he have a horn on his head?
Yeah, he has a horn on his head. He's kind of like orange, and he's got like a scarf.
Yeah,
So,
yeah, this would be fun. Like the scene in The Terrifier, right, with the clown cafe and stuff. To me, that works. Because you see this set, or you see this thing, and you think, oh, this looks fun and cool and light, and this ought to be, you know, everybody's happy. And then when bad shit, evil shit, weird shit happens there, I think it's more impactful, right? Because it's, your baseline is so different. I don't know. That's my word. I like these. We've seen a few of them. I like these movies that are kind of based around that are like kids shows, supposedly kids shows that are not what they are. Something goes wrong. I think that's kind of a fun thing. And this was supposedly from what everybody says, like, supposed to be the best of them, supposed to be really good. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard this one like is pretty solid. We'll have to see how it goes next weekend, and we'll bring that official review to you guys next Thursday. But for right now, I think that pretty much wraps up our news, upcoming birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We are going to take a quick break arena, and when we come back, we will have our official review of Insidious Out of the Furrow.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
Okay, we are back here on Listen to the Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Insidious Out of the Further, like we said earlier, the sixth installment in the Insidious franchise. Written by Jacob Chase, based on the story and characters by David Leslie Johnson. Wait, David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. Oh, that's a name. And Lee Whannell. Directed by Jacob Chase, starring Amelia Eve, Ilan Austin, Lynn Shea, and others. A movie was released in theaters on August 21st, and it earned $25,106,020 domestically on opening weekend. Good for number two. Horror fans, don't get caught up in that. Don't think, oh, just number two. Yeah, well, Spider-Man's number one. Come on. Right now, number two is just the best you can get. That's where you're at for now. So, pretty good. That's a good showing, I think. And coming into this, it's weird because coming into this, I'm like, I didn't know what to think, right? Because I thought you don't have Patrick Wilson in it, right? So I thought, what would that, you know, how's that going to feel? Is it going to work? I knew Lynn Shea was in it, but from everything I had read and indicated, it's like she's not like she wasn't the main character, supposed to be the main. And I was like, okay, well, at least there's a tie there, whatever. So I didn't know what to expect. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, right? Because we have talked. The Insidious franchise could do lots of things outside the realms of what they've already established. Lots of ways they can go. Lots of movies they can make, series they can make. This is a universe that they could really explore in lots of ways. And I feel like they did a lot of that in this movie. They really took a lot of what they have had, what they have established, what they've put out there, and they really got creative and explored and did something a little different, but it's not that it's so, but they didn't do anything so far out that you're like, shit, this is not even Insidious anymore. No, it's an Insidious movie. Felt like an Insidious movie, fit in perfect, but you didn't feel like, God damn it, they're just rehashing it, right? It's just another. Now, this movie, man, I'm telling you, for a sequel, I really think, no lie, I think this is one of my favorite of the franchise. I've only watched it once. I'll have to give it rewatches, but this was really a good movie to me. I actually found myself liking that it was a different cast and different characters. When I started, you know, I was watching it, and they pretty quickly, I think right at the beginning of the movie, they establish background, right? Where if you've seen the Insidious movies, you see and you're like, okay, you got it, right? You're there. You don't have to wait forever to get a little context. But then they give you a little support, right? Of course, you got to, before you pull the rug out from under them, you gotta set up the nice little life, right? Before you, that's what you gotta do. It's a movie, but again, everybody in this movie was tremendous. The story was great. There were parts. Now, I'm gonna go on a tangent a little bit. This is a personal Dave tangent. This movie had some of the most horrifying stuff for me, and again, because I have a weird thing about mouths. And not that I hate dentists or mind going. It's not that. That's not what I'm saying. It's I couldn't be a dentist. I couldn't be a dental assistant. I could not be going into someone's mouth and doing any dental work. It grosses me out. I couldn't, right? The fucking scene with the one old guy and the dental stuff. Fucking, there's parts of it I had to look away. It was so gross to me. It was so disgusting. There was, again, it was dental work. So I'm not giving it. There was a nasty ass tongue. There was nasty ass teeth. There was fucking slobber and saliva. And it looked so fucking real. And it was disgusting. And then they took that where I was already thinking, ugh. And then they did a very cool sequence with x-rays. And I'm not going to give any more away, but it was very cool the way they did that to get you, right? I mean, again, the movie was terrifying. And it maybe because it did play, like, there's a part where the mom goes into her child's pillow fort. That was terrifying to me because it plays on, it basically plays a claustrophobia, right? In a sense. I hate that. I can't do that. I can't go into a tight place like that, especially if I feel like I can't get out. So this movie hit on a lot of things for me, but it was just, I thought it was really well made. I thought it was really scary, really fucking creepy. There was, I don't know what you call them. I don't know if they really per se Easter egg, but there was lots of connections in this from old Insidious movies that They weren't just like, oh, look what we stuck in there. So, ha ha, we're creative. No, it fit, right? It fit into the movie. It was appropriate, but it wasn't so overdone again that you felt like they were just rehashing old movies. Again, it's one of those movies that I just feel like, man, I want to watch it again because I feel like I missed some of these connections and some of the depth to it. Again, it's been a bit since I've watched some of the Insidious movies, but I really think this is right up there as one of my favorites of the franchise so far. I thought this was really a really fun movie. Even if you just watched it outside, if you're not familiar with the Insidious franchise, I don't think it's doing you that much harm because I think they explained it enough and well enough that you could still get it. I thought it was a great movie. Really, really enjoyed it. I don't know. Again, I didn't know what to expect, and to me, it was even better than I'd hoped. I really thought I thought they hit it out of the park with this one. So, Ike, what'd you think?
No, I 100% agree. I think the big highlight here is that A, I did not know what to expect. Exactly what you said. I had no expectations going into this movie simply because, from the trailer, you don't really get much other than, okay, this is going to be somewhat related to the original. And the main connection, as you can tell from the trailer, is Elise,
Yeah.
right? That's not a spoiler. She is
No.
in the trailer. We see her. So, Lin Shaye's character has been a pretty common thread between most of the movies, And I think that, like you said, there are some other connections to the other movies that really solidify that, while this is its own movie, it is still very much a big part of the greater universe. And because of that, I think that this movie did a really good job by just saying, look, we're going to make our own thing. We're going to make our own movie. We're going to try and not fully separate from the main universe, but we're going to basically go off on a tangent, right? We're not going to just say, okay, let's just make another movie with Patrick Wilson because, they're popular. We're going to actually go in and say, okay, let's make our own movie. Let's make a new person. Let's bring a new character into this whole universe. And really, I think that that is it was a perfect next step. The last movie, what was it, Red Door, was really good, but that movie really closed off that storyline, right? It closed off that family storyline. So it's like, really, the only thing left to do is move on to somebody else, get some fresh blood into this. And I think that by getting that fresh blood, by getting that people, it really has revitalized the franchise into a new direction. And I think that you could ex very easily make this into sort of like an anthology type series where each movie is somebody else interacting with the further, somebody else interacting with these monsters, with these creatures, these people. And I think that if they're smart, they will take that and they will run with it. And I would love for them to go back and tie up some loose ends from the other movies too. After the end of the second movie, they visit someone's family and there's like a whole interaction there that never got closed up. There's a some interaction from the third movie that never got quite closed up and stuff like that. So, I do think that they have a lot of directions and a lot of pull. So I think that they could potentially make this into a wildly successful series. And one last thing I'll say is that I found myself really enjoying this movie, and there are a lot of really spooky things that, it's like this didn't have to be a rated R movie. Normally I'm all about like, hey, let's get this a rated R movie so that way we don't have to hold back. But this movie didn't necessarily need a rated R, right? It's PG-13. A lot of the Insidious movies are. And I think that this movie did a really good job. And I think that it is up there probably in the top echelons of the other movies. I would maybe put this below like the first two movies, but this might be like neck and neck with Red Door, in my opinion. But no, so anywho, all the actors did great. Filmography is great. All the locations were perfectly designed. All of the scares were really well, articulated. It wasn't anything that felt like half cooked. And I think they did a really great job. I'm super su pleasantly surprised with this because I had truly no expectations going into this. I was like, either it's going to be great or it might be a little eh. But I was like, but it should be fun. So I enjoyed it.
Yes, me too. And like we said last episode, right? There was at least what I saw, there wasn't this a huge promotional push.
No.
I mean, the name was out there some, but it's like, again, that plays into, not having expectations. So, but I think the good thing is, at least so far, they have proven that the franchise can be a draw and draw in movies. And it's not so much the fact that like Patrick Wilson was in it or that character.
Right.
Not saying people don't like him or he didn't bring in somebody, but they have shown that, the Insidious, if they continue to make good movies, the Insidious name, being part of that franchise, can be the draw. It can be, they've set themselves up right to have a true franchise where it's not about necessarily the players, it's about the name and the overarching story that they can tell, which is a good thing. And it can be, again, lots very prosperous for them, and could give us a lot of, great content moving forward. So, okay. So rate this thing. Yeah, to me, I don't know. I'm pretty sold. I think this is an easy 4 out of 5 screams for me. I don't see anything here that's going to push it further than that again, but it's hard to get above a 4 for me. But yeah, I didn't see any glaring flaws to make me knock it down any. So I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 screams. Ike, how about you?
I do have to agree. I think that, especially compared to the movies that we've gotten recently, this really shined. Really, really just a great showing. And I think a 4 screens out of 5 is a good rating for this movie. And I think that it has a lot of promise. And like we said, I think there's so much more they could do with the series. And I think this is proof that we don't have to recycle the same characters. We don't have to bring back the same people. It can truly be a standalone story with very loose connections to the rest of it. Very loose threads, and it is perfectly fine. So 100% give it a 4 out of 5 for me.
There you go. Again, it gives a very good movie. If you've not seen it yet, guys, go check it out in theaters now. Insidious Out of the Further. To me, giving a lot of hope for the future of the franchise. So good stuff. Next episode, we're going to, like we said, be reviewing the movie Buddy. Let's see what we think of that. Sounds like a fun movie. But we will tell you all about that next episode. But until then, we'd like to throw out all the love and thank you to our wives for all their support. And everything and what we do. And of course, thank you to our listeners and followers for all the support and love that you give us as well. Thank you. Keep the interactions going. We do love to hear from you guys. And the best way to do that is to subscribe and follow us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just look up, listen to their screams. We're very easy to find. You'll see us there. Give us a follow, interact, share our stuff, respond to our posts. We check it all the time. So we're glad to interact and have conversations with people. We love that. We love to talk horror. Only rule is don't be a dick, be respectful. That's all we ask for. Just for the love of the game here. And while you're out there, make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. You have to go check me out. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. But you can see, if that's the way you want to listen to our podcast there. But there's all kinds of other cool stuff that Ike and I have done. Other podcasts, other projects, other things, all kinds of cool stuff there. So go check that out. But before we close out, Ike, anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. Oh, actually, no, I did. I wanted to add one other thing. I mentioned it briefly earlier, but I've been doing some reading lately. And I read a book called Strange Houses by it's a Japanese author named Uketsu. And it was really cool. It's a horror kind of I would consider it like a horror-esque, but it's kind of like in the same realm as like The Backrooms kind of in a way. And so in the way that like it's based around architecture and weird like spaces, I got the second book. It's called Strange Buildings, but it's cool. It's cool. He's an interesting guy, and the first book was really good, and second book was also so far is really good. So and there is also a third book that is not yet translated, or if it is, the library doesn't have it.
There you go.
So, recommendation for people.
That's right. We do talk about somewhat, but remember, guys, when you're out there supporting horror, that does not just mean movies, and it does not just mean, television or series. There's lots of other great stuff. There's artists, there's collectibles, and then obviously books. So go do it all, or support it all, right? Don't forget the, soundtracks of things, because you have the musicians that contribute, and support everything across the realm when it comes to horror. And the next time we come to you, we talk to you guys, it will officially be September. We'll officially then, there's no excuse for anybody. We're officially in spooky season then. The rest of you are just gonna have to get caught up. Like we say, when you're in the burr months, you're there. That's the time. So that's very exciting. So, like we talked about, I think it was last episode or the episode before. September is gonna be a big fun month here within the Listen to the Screams family. So very exciting. So all right, guys, that's it. Go check out Insidious Out of the Further. Check out Buddy before we review it next episode. Make sure you're subscribing to Screambox and Shudder. Get your content there. This is the time of year everybody puts out lots of good stuff. So, if you don't, subscribe to them so that you can see it all. And make sure you get back with us next week to talk more horror. And until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.